meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's not Dr. Drew. That's Dr. Alter. Now, Dr. Alter is filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Alter has been on the show before, but I believe only one time, but we did have a good time with him. Dr. Alter, and that's your real name, right?
It is indeed.
Dr. Alter does gender reassignment. He's one of the few guys who's board certified in urology and plastic surgery. And is whacked out as his profession is, a completely competent man, I assure you.
I'm whacked out too, but that's okay.
Yes, but if you got your dork caught in a tree chipper, Dr. Alter would be the guy you'd want to call.
Yeah, I have reattached penises before.
You have?
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to get into this. Dominic Moynihan is here tonight, too, from Lord of the Rings. Thank God Dr. Alter just got done watching the third in the trilogy today,
moments ago.
At the Cinerama Dome, and came in here floating on air.
Oh,
greatest. You know, he's not stupid.
He's a doctor.
He knew that he was going to be next to me, and he doesn't mess around, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, it's by chance.
His only beef was not enough genital mutilation in the third.
And also he said not enough Dom Monaghan, which is a very important comment.
But he saw it. Now, I'm the only guy I know who's not seen it, but I feel like I need to offer up an excuse, which is I never read growing up. So I never read any of the Hobbit series or wherever the book genesis of this was. I never read anything, and generally don't go see these types of movies. By the time everyone told me how great it was, the first one had left. Then I was willing to see the second one, but everyone yelled at me and said, you have to see the first one before you can see the second one, and with the busy schedule. I wanted to see the third. I couldn't do that either. I had to see the first two. I work with a whole bunch of writers over at the Jimmy Kimmel Show,
right,
who are crazy for Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Scream at me, and like I said, each time I announce, fine, let's go to the theaters, let's go see it tonight, they all scream, no, we won't let you until you see the first two.
Yeah, I mean, I would say go and see the extended version of The Fellowship of the Ring, then, which is out on DVD, then the extended version of The Two Towers, and then go to the movies and see The Return of the King. But my question would be,
tonight,
you don't read?
No,
I don't. You don't read? You don't go to the movies?
No,
you,
I do.
You don't write?
Do
you listen to music?
I do, yes.
Do you do anything?
I like music.
Do you do stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You do things.
I'm crazy with things. Yeah, I build houses, really.
Oh, all right.
My hobbies. I like cars and houses. But,
do you read books about building houses?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't learn how to read when I was young, so I got off to a shaky start. Oh, and no worry, I'm fine. I'm literally a millionaire today.
Yeah,
literally.
You read comic books?
No. No, I didn't. I deemed everything that it had words as just sort of bad. I believe the poison's the mind. And as a doctor, you back me up, please.
Yeah, words are evil, man.
I got turned off, and I never read anything. I just played sports and wrenched on cars and stuff.
I mean, how'd you do in school?
It was horrible.
Were you a high school jock?
Like, did you have ADD? Or, I mean, did you have some
disabilities? No, just stupid. Just bad. Yeah. I was a horrible student.
You were a high school jock.
I was a jock, yeah,
and a
horrible student. And I started carpet cleaning when I got out of high school. And
I don't know how well this is going to go, because high school jocks at my school, dude.
Oh yeah,
they messed me up.
Did they pick on you?
Well, I was, I was the kind of the comic book reading, kind of slightly geekish, kind of drama kid, and they were the guys that kicked balls at my face and stuff. So,
oh really? Oh yeah. Well, you grew up in a place where they played soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we would have thrown balls at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Which is interesting, but you call it American football, right? Whereas it should have been called something like armored catch. Or,
yeah.
Only one guy can kick it. Is that right? Or two guys can kick it
in American football.
In American football.
Well, one guy can kick it at a time. I mean. Yeah, right?
Well, they got punters, they got field goal kickers.
Yeah, but it's only one guy kicking it at a time, right?
Right.
Right.
Why don't you just call it the worst sport in the world ever invented?
Oh,
well, it's getting big in England, though. I mean,
it's
Europe,
not.
The European League.
No,
it's
not.
Oh, my God.
It is the worst sport ever invented.
Worse than soccer and cricket?
Football is the greatest sport ever. It's played by the entire world, man.
Give me a break, cricket.
Cricket.
Cricket. You get
cricket is fantastic.
It's
a game for gentlemen.
Soccer. I try to watch soccer like once every 5 years, and it's just a bunch of guys chasing a ball around. Nothing ever happens. You got to watch football, American football.
Yeah.
There's hitting. There's injuries.
There's advertisements. There's stopping, the starting.
Stopping.
You guys are going to have something every 25 seconds.
In between, but serious violence in between.
Yeah, but what about rugby? You get rugby is essentially American football without armor on. You guys are all pussies. You have to dress up in armor and
but
helmets.
Here's the thing. Here's the whole thing about they don't hit nearly as hard.
Rubbish.
Now we're taking the gloves off. You guys don't have the athletes we have.
What are you talking about?
You don't have athletes.
You have 490-pound athletes in
the country. We have guys who can bench press 400 pounds and run a 4.340.
We take more steroids than you guys.
Let me face it.
We take the hormones.
That's what happens.
He eats 17 turkeys and
I'm not saying it's right, but you don't have the horses. We got the horses over here.
I'm not denying that America has bigger athletes, but in terms of good athletes, I'm going England all the way. Just rugby players, they would kick you guys' asses. That would be a good game, actually.
No.
Yeah.
No, they're
more sophisticated, and they play with their minds more opposed to those
South Africans children. And the Australians kick your butts in rugby.
World
Cup winners at the moment, so there's no one better than England at the moment.
I didn't read the latest.
I live in the now.
We don't focus on it. If we did focus on it, we would dominate like we do every sport. But we don't deem it a real sport.
This is
what it is. We have the superior athletes. It's just they're busy dunking basketballs and playing football. Yeah. And
no one else plays basketball as well, don't you?
Well, I know we got beat in the Olympics the last couple of years. Crazy. Well, no, they have teams from like Croatia and stuff like that.
Those guys are playing together for a year or two years.
Yeah.
You know, the foreign guys.
No.
And they put together Americans. And the best players frequently from the U.S. don't even play.
No, but I'm just saying that they do play basketball all over the world now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're good, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, American NBA teams are filled with more and more foreign players every year. Quite a few, actually.
Well, that's the same with the British Premier League, the soccer league. There's a lot of foreign players, but play by the world over. Hey, we don't want to start on this.
We're going down a bad path.
Yeah.
I was a jock, not a bad one. I just played my sports and went home, and I didn't get late. So
I think it kind of
evened out. Yeah, and look at you now. You've taken your nerddom and spun it into a gold mine.
Stardom.
Whereas you took your nerddom and converted it into stardom, where I was taking my jockdom and converted it into nothingdom. You understand?
No, radio dumb, dude.
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with the jock. Serendipity. So.
You don't play
to do with the jock pass.
You play sports at the weekend still?
I just box. It's only.
Oh, God.
Sport.
I'm not going to argue anymore, man.
But the point is, whatever I did in high school didn't carry over into, I finished high school and started cleaning carpets. I didn't get into anything that would have connected to the jockdom. All right. Oh, turn the dock up, so says Engineer Anderson. All right, so here's the way the show works. We argue over international sports for about another hour and 51 minutes. No, we take calls. We make fun of kids. Dr. Alter is board certified. And what should we focus? Should we focus more tonight on urology questions? I mean, that's your field of expertise. Plastic surgery is a field of expertise.
Plastic surgery is fine. I don't do regular urology anymore. The only crossover I do in urology is any kind of reconstruction of genitals or impotence work or women who have deformities in the outside of their vaginas, things like that.
Really?
So reconstructive type issues of the genitals.
Yeah. And you've reattached?
I've reattached.
Penises you've lopped off yourself?
Or, no, if I lop them off, I don't reattach them. No,
you don't
those
put
are
them
for
back.
Cancer or something. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, you have gender reassignment, don't you?
Right. But we save a good portion of that. We use a good portion of that.
Oh, you use the penis, because to form the vagina.
We use the skin to form the vagina, and part of the head of the penis, we keep the nerves attached.
Right.
And because it's the same thing as the clitoris. So you keep the same nerves as the clitoris. So you make a little portion of the head of the penis as the clitoris.
Right. So you can't throw it away.
You don't want to throw it away.
Okay. And reattaching penises.
Reattaching.
Maybe like two good stories.
Well, I'll give you a good story. I mean, this man. A lot of the guys that cut their penises off. Because generally it's self-inflicted, are either in a religious psychotic trance,
right,
or they're psychotic because of drugs.
Right.
And one particular patient was a married guy who was taking some speed, and he had a hallucination that basically if he didn't cut his penis off, this form or vision or whatever would kill his wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it took him a couple tries, but he did cut it off.
And with what? Just because I'm going to clutch my own
just
drug?
A knife, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I don't have to clutch.
Know. And then he cut it off, fell asleep, woke up in blood.
Fell asleep.
Mm. Yeah, woke up in blood, and there's the stump lying
right
there. I mean, you know, and the guy's no longer, you know, stoned.
But the important thing is
he's a little freaked out, right? Okay.
But the important thing is his wife and kids were saved, right?
Well, they were saved, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
very
right.
Nice people. And so anyhow, so he was alone at his parents' place somewhere in the Central Valley or whatever. So he's looking around for some ice to put the penis in. Fortunately, he didn't find it because he would have screwed it up.
Oh, putting it in ice is not the thing to do.
Well, you want to put it in a bag and then put the bag on in a plastic bag with the penis in it, in ice and water. But you don't put the penis directly on ice, or it'll get too cold.
I see.
It'll freeze it. Okay?
Yeah, but just like if you packed your actual penis in ice.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Could snap.
Crack it.
Is this the same for any...
For fingers, same thing.
Put it in a bag.
You put it in a bag,
uh-huh,
and then you put the bag in ice and water.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
He got in the car and drove to the hospital.
Right.
I mean, with his, you know, with his penis in
his
bag.
Yeah, it's good going.
Yeah.
You know, so
he brought it in.
So then, obviously, you know, he's in a smaller hospital somewhere in the San Joaquin Valley, and nobody knows how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they started calling around, blah, blah, blah. They called UCLA, who called me, and they helicoptered him in. So we got the phone call at around 4 by 8:30. I plus another plastic surgeon who does microvascular surgery.
Mm-hmm.
We had him in the operating room, and we operated from about 8:30 at night till 4 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
We hooked up, obviously, the urinary channel,
sure,
the penis, a couple of the arteries to the head of the penis, and one artery to the head of the penis. We hooked up the nerves and a couple of the veins, and we finished around 4:30 in the morning. And
it worked?
It works. It works.
It was upside down, right?
Sideways.
How long before you know it's going to take?
Within a day or two. I mean, you'll know it'll pink up,
really?
Yeah, right after you get it in. But you don't know if he's going to be potent, if the erection's, and you don't know if he's going to have sensation for 6 months or whatever.
Right.
But he lost a little length. But he's getting erections and he's got sensation, and it was great, fabulous.
Wow.
And
you're
back
really,
with his family. I mean,
you're doing the Lord's work.
And his HMO said it was not medically indicated. How do you like that?
So you mean they didn't cover
HMO didn't want to cover it. We finally fought with them in this
match.
It was unbelievable. that's the HMO status in the world.
Now, what is that? What did that run them?
I don't even know because the hospital fees had to be outrageous.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
right.
I have no clue.
But you do it pro bono, right?
I would do it pro bono, absolutely.
All right.
Pro bono.
You answered me with a straight face.
Yeah, well, you
absolutely.
Know, I didn't hear the R in there.
You do a lot of pro bono work.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's...
let the party begin.
Let's go to the phones, and we will hear the second penis reattachment. Let's see. Who do I want to talk to? Let's just start at the top. Devin?
Yes?
You're 18?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
What's up?
Nothing.
Good.
Yes, I'm 18. I'm sorry.
All right. What's the question?
I have a boyfriend. I've been dating him since last May, and he joined the Air Force, and yeah, basically, he never wants to have sex. So I sort of don't understand that.
Okay, wait. Is he gone away, or is
he? No, he already went away. He already went through boot camp and tech school, and now he just shut up, dog. And he's
Okay. All right. Sorry. So he's where's he stationed?
Missouri.
Missouri.
No. Yeah. He actually. He just got.
Okay. There. Stop talking.
Okay.
He doesn't want to have sex when he's in town after being away for many weeks or months.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yes.
That's
okay.
True,
see,
yes.
Everyone tells me, take the calls. Take the calls. Yes. Stop talking and take the goddamn calls. We take the calls. This is what we get. We're having a feverish discussion about soccer versus American football or football versus American football. We had a nice penis reattachment story.
And now this girl's...
We're humming along at a fever pitch, and now this.
Maybe she's nervous.
She is. And now she's more nervous. Devin?
Yes?
All right. So, look, if he's 21...
Uh-huh.
And he goes away for a few months at a time and comes back and doesn't feel like having sex.
Yeah.
You should probably break up. If you don't have any kids, you're not engaged or married, this thing just isn't really working out.
Has he been engaged in any kind of major firefight or war-type scenario?
Mm-mm. No.
Because I was thinking maybe he was shell-shocked.
Yeah, happen, man. He just started, right? I mean, in the Air Force, right? Or has she been in for a while?
Yes. He just started.
Okay, not seeing the action. All right, listen,
maybe he's got another girlfriend. Maybe he's not attracted to her anymore. Maybe.
Well, whatever it is.
It's not
he's
happening.
He's gone anyway.
Yeah.
He's in Missouri. You're in Los Angeles.
Well, it's not... I mean, once in a while he does, but he'll go, like, 3 seconds and then be too tired. And I don't know.
All right, well, how long have you two been going out?
Since last May.
Okay. You could have a talk with him and want to know where you stand, but...
I've tried.
I'm saying break up because you're 18 and he's in Missouri.
Mm, yeah, that would be number one.
That doesn't work, right? You're in Los Angeles. You're getting ready to go to junior college, right?
No.
You just gonna go to work? What are you doing?
You can meet some cute guys at work, you know?
Where do you work? Are you a hostess?
Stop laughing. I don't work either.
You don't work? You don't go to school?
Time off.
Okay, you're taking some time off.
Yes.
I don't know what you need time off from
motivated.
when you're 18, but you had to take some time off from doodling on a peachy folder to find yourself. All right, yeah, I know what it's like. I remember when I hit 18. I needed to pull back. I need to refocus. I need to get a new outlook on life.
I've been doing clean carpets.
Beating off and yelling at my stepmom for 3 years made me tired. I had to really get some focus, and that's when I channeled my energy into carpet cleaning.
Well, that's, you focus.
Right. She's not doing anything. He's not doing anything. He's in Missouri. That's a long ways away when you're 18.
He's in misery, dude.
You just break it up. I know, and the way she pronounces Missouri
like
is misery, basically. Which is where she's at. Let's talk to Rachel, who's 20 and calling from Minnesota. Rachel?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, I have a question. I met this guy about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he's 40, and I'm 20. Yeah, so there's a big leap there. But
right.
He tells me he's not a virgin. And, well, I'm skeptical about that. You know,
you're skeptical that he's 40 years old?
Well...
Is he a Mormon?
Yes.
I mean, is it possible that he's lying to me, or is it true?
Are you a Mormon?
Wait a minute. He says he's a virgin and you're skeptical.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
At least she's skeptical.
Yeah.
At
40, your penis will find a vagina in somewhere in 40 years, even if it's an accident.
Yeah, he fell.
It says you met him online. I mean, have you met him personally?
Yes.
You met him personally. Maybe the guy he may be a virgin. The odds are against it, or he may have some congenital deformity, or he could be.
Right.
He could be. Who knows? I'll give you the most far out thing.
Yeah.
The guy could say maybe the guy is a female to male transsexual, and I mean that's
a leap.
Far out.
It's a leap of
it's
faith.
It's a leap of faith.
I like
and,
it.
And you know, he's I'm a virgin,
right.
So he doesn't want to show, or he's got a congenital deformity of his penis, or whatever. You don't know.
Hold on. You know, this reminds
me. It's a leap of faith.
It's funny because in your world, Dr. Alder,
that's the world. That's
40 to 60% of the populace has had gender reassignment.
Well,
right?
No. But let's say the guy has a deformity of his penis.
Okay.
So maybe he is a virgin.
Right.
Or maybe he's just a liar.
Well,
I mean,
let's
you know,
say
like, the odds are he's lying.
But Dominic would say maybe he was injured in a cricket accident.
Yeah.
Well, and I would say maybe a carpet cleaning wand.
I'm
caught his penis.
I'm kind of confused why he's saying that he's a virgin. Why is he saying that to you? Like,
yes. Why would a guy brag about that at age 40?
Maybe I'm a virgin.
That is why I'm skeptical about it. I mean, what man in their right mind would tell anybody they're a virgin?
Well, hold on. This is a reason not to be skeptical about it in a way, because why would you brag about something that was embarrassing?
But I'm kind of, I mean.
Have you fooled around? Have you done anything? Have you, like.
No.
Why? He's just not up for that at all? Does he not... He doesn't want to do that?
I think that maybe he does, but I'm, you know, I'm a virgin too, you know?
Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Do you meet on, like, a virgin web page?
Still got that new vagina smell.
Yeah.
Okay, Rachel, look, here's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like these are two desperate people that are clinging to each other.
Okay, I don't want to have sex with him, though.
Okay, good.
But the fact of the matter is, if he's lying to me about that, he's lying to me about other things.
Okay, assume he lies about everything every day. Whatever he said his name is, it's not even that. Okay? Here's the deal. He's 40. You met him on the internet. He's a virgin. Get out of there.
Yeah.
You don't need this.
If you don't want to have sex with him, then, you know.
Find a nice 22-year-old guy with low mileage and, you know, have a relationship. What's wrong?
Is there someone that wants to have a relationship? Let's go.
Well, Rachel, what's up? You a big gal?
A little, not really.
I don't want to sound cruel, but this is the work of a big gal.
You're fat.
Drew, please. Listen.
Not necessarily fat. My doctor
I know,
says
but,
I'm okay.
I know. We talk to people from Minnesota. Though.
I used to live in Minnesota.
I'm 195. Yeah. I'm about average.
Yeah, I lived in Minnesota. I know.
They call me Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they like a lot of...
for you know?
Okay, Rachel, there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
You just focus on moving your life forward, whatever you're into, school, work, your hobbies, you know, get in shape, eat right, work out, and meet a nice guy who's somewhere that you work with or somewhere that you're going to school with, all right? Mm-hmm. Don't cruise the internet for weirdos.
For what it's worth, Rachel, you have a beautiful, beautiful voice.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Don't be desperate.
I just also wanted to say that what he told me was that he didn't want to have sex just for the act. He wanted it to be intimate. And
he's 40.
Yeah,
you should be done having sex by 40. You should be tired of sex. You're on the backside of sex, which is I'm all humped out, baby. That's my line.
I'm sorry.
I've been sexing for a good 18. No, wait a minute. Good 22, 23 years, and I'm tired.
You've had it.
I need a break.
You're tired?
You want to perform some oral on me? I can talk. We can talk about that. But as far as the sex part, no. I'm tired. I'm done. Alter, I know you're in the same shape, right? You're an old man.
No.
Waiting to die.
No.
Lost you.
No.
No, because you're probably giving yourself testosterone injections or something, right?
It's a natural thing.
All right. Dr. Alter here, filling in for Dr. Drew. Dominic Moynihan here. Lord of the Rings. Well, all three of them, by the way. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Alter. Dr. Alter filling in for Dr. Bruce, who was filling in for Dr. Drew. And Dr. Alter is a urologist. He's a plastic surgeon and is twice as smart, although quite demented and possibly possessed. is Dr. Drew. Dominic Moynihan is here tonight from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which is probably the biggest movie or movies ever.
They're fabulous.
And Dr. Alter saw the third one tonight and was blown away.
Yeah.
And it was just serendipity.
Correct.
You didn't know Dominic was coming in.
It's good timing.
It's very, very good timing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I said, I have
you're
not seen him. I work with guys that are pricks, quite frankly. And they're big pains in the ass. They don't can't agree on anything. They don't like anything. They all love Lord of the Rings.
I was on the Jimmy Kimmel show, you know. I was on some where they were following around Spike, not Spike, Don King for a bit.
Oh,
I was,
yeah.
I was in the hotel, like shadow boxing.
When Don King co-hosted, probably was about 5-6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you should go on.
I'd love to go on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, you would? Well,
yeah.
I'll tell
My publicist won't let me on because they say he's a cruel, cruel man, but I say he's actually a sweetheart.
Let me tell you about this cruel, cruel man. Most generous guy I've ever met and gave me the second Lord of the Rings episode.
What and you guy. Still haven't watched
yeah,
it?
No, I haven't. Because he gave me the second one, and now everyone's telling me I gotta watch the first one.
You have to watch the first before.
And so now I can't watch the second one.
You could come around and watch the first one at my house. That might be
can
fun.
Can I?
Well, you come to mine. I got
Hollywood Hills. I'm Hollywood. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I'm Las Vegas.
The point. Now, I'd be scared to fall asleep at your house and wake up without what little penis I started with. But I don't got that much. Like, here's the thing. You know, when it gets lopped off and you reattach it, you lose a little
bit. You do lose a little.
That's what I got.
But do you lose it through shock? How does that work?
Well, no. You kind of have to clean up the ends. So you have to take a little off to bring them together.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
I could do with losing a little, so I could help you out, man.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good thing to say. I should have said that. All right. And your parents never did get over what you do, right?
I help people.
No, they've disowned you, right? They're not fans.
They really are fans. Yeah.
No, I'm more scared. All right. Janice, you're 16?
Yeah.
You have a question for Dominic?
Yeah, I just wanted to know what his inspiration was for the song Maybe on Vigo's album.
Right. I guess I should fill people in about what that was. Vigo and myself and Elijah and Billy Boyd went into the studio with a brilliant guitarist called Buckethead. You know Buckethead?
Yes.
Had a few solo albums and worked with Guns N' Roses for a while. Yeah, fantastic. I don't know, inspiration for maybe, probably just the album itself was kind of cut in a semi-improvisational kind of fashion, and I tended to be in the on the mic quite a lot, because apart from the guitar, I can't really play too many instruments, so Buckethead tended to start a riff, and then, everyone else would jump in, so Buckethead was kind of riffing on this kind of tune for a couple of minutes, and Billy kind of came in with the bass, and we started to feel where it was going, and then, you know, like with the instruments, as you start to feel where the song's going, you kind of know lyrically where it's going to go, and it kind of just came out of nowhere.
What CD is it on?
It's called Pandemonium in America. It's Vigo and Buckethead's album, and we kind of guessed.
Oh, you're on a cut on that.
Yeah, we guessed on about 5 tracks. Have you heard the last track?
Oh, no, I haven't.
The last track's me and Elijah doing like a pixie type strange weird song of gibberish. That's my favorite one. That's called The Halfling. That's my favorite song on the
Janice, you have the CD or did you just download a couple
downloaded
songs?
It.
All right.
Oh, is it on the net? Can you download it on the net? Really?
Yeah, a couple places.
On what? On like the OneRing.net?
Oh no, fan sites. They have the links on their site. God.
I just thought about the Lord of the Rings and the internet, and now it just must be a million websites.
It's crazy. Did you like it? Did you like the album? Vigo's got an amazing voice, huh?
Yeah, I loved it.
We're going to go in again this year and do another album.
Really?
So. Yeah.
All right. Can you do? Thanks, Janice. Is that it with the Lord of the Rings? There's no fourth. There's nothing that's...
No, because, you haven't seen the film, so you don't know, but, I mean, it kind of ties up pretty nicely. You can't really carry on from there.
Yeah, but, no, you say you can't, but...
They can always.
It does seem, guys falling into volcanoes and body parts coming out, and then 18 months later, the guy's back.
Well, I'd like to think that I think Pete, the director, would have enough integrity to not do it again. I don't think they'd allow anyone else to kind of mess around with that world apart from Pete. You know.
And is there three books?
There's three books that were each split into three separate parts.
Oh.
So there was essentially nine books when they first came out.
Right.
But then they brought them into three volumes.
Right.
Yeah. Good books, man. You should read them.
Gotta have someone read me those books. is it on cassette? They have like the Hobbit on cassette?
Yeah. Well, Lord of the Rings is on cassette, and Ian Holm, the guy who plays Bilbo in the film's trilogy, reads as Frodo, which is really amazing.
He does.
Yeah.
It's like 70 cassettes? How many?
I think it's about 15 or 20 cassettes.
Oh, my God.
BBC production. It's fantastic.
All right. I'm going to have to... I'm going to get that for Christmas.
Yeah. I'll buy it, man.
We're going to do, let's see, I'll go to line four and talk to Austin, who's 19.
My dad's called Austin.
Hey.
Austin?
Hey, Austin.
What's happening?
I had a question about a law that's going into effect in Oklahoma for sex offenders. They're going to get castrated.
Yeah. I think they mean chemically castrated.
Oh, well, see, this is the right.
I'm not so sure of that.
Oh, you mean regular castrated?
I wouldn't be surprised. It's pretty hard to control somebody chemically.
It is?
Well, you can give it to them chemically, but I don't know for sure if this is a physical castration or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they do...
For sex offenders. They take their testicles off, theoretically, because it should decrease their sex drive.
Yeah, but... Hold on.
I think it's cutting sex off, but I don't think they do this.
I don't think this goes on. I think they're talking about chemical castration.
Well, it may be chemical. I don't know, but I mean, I get...
You got your fingers crossed for the actual knife, though,
no,
right?
No, I won't do it. I get requests from people that ask. I won't do it.
How much sac removal requests do you field each year?
Sac or testicle removal?
Both.
I get sac reduction requests.
Oh, yeah, because they
sac reduction.
Oh, you get sac reduction?
Yeah.
We should talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got a little hanging, huh?
I could use a little tuck.
Yeah.
Sac tuck, just to make the penis look bigger.
I would think it'd be a big thing in Europe, because, you know, in Europe they got these toilets, you know, where it's like high.
Yeah.
So a guy could sit down if he's got really low hanging scrotum.
Like old men.
It could like hang right on the porcelain.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Old men have quite low hanging balls.
Yeah. It's an age related function.
I want to get a gouch extension. You know the gouch? The gap between the balls and the bum.
Oh, yeah.
The little space in between that's
a gouch. We call it a taint.
We call it a taint.
I call it the gouch. You're playing computer games, or you're watching a nice movie and you kind of tickle it.
So yeah, it's sort of.
I want to get that kind of extended. You want it to be
like a dorsal fin.
Yeah, I want
but hanging, pointing down.
To come out from the side of my jeans.
Interesting concept.
Can we talk about that?
Interesting. But if there's a buck in it, you right? You do it, right?
No.
So, all right. Well, let me ask Austin.
I don't know if it's chemical or a physical castration.
All right, well, let's talk about how this works for a second. Austin?
Yes.
Do you know if it's chemical or physical castration?
I don't know. I saw it on the news tonight. They said they were going to be... they were talking about doing it in Oklahoma, Texas, and California. That's why I called you guys.
Right, but... They didn't say chemical castration?
Well, they said that they were going to do hormonal treatment on him first.
All right, that hormonal chemical, first.
Huh? That's right. Chemical, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they can actually...
No.
It's pretty barbaric.
Here's the deal.
Those guys got some balls.
Let me explain the ACLU. We try to go to death row prisoners and get a little DNA from them so we can clear some files off the books, and those ACLU pussies step right in and block that. You think we're going to be cutting nuts off?
Listen, I'm opposed to it.
Cutting the sacrum?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, for that, of course.
Yeah, but now how does the chemical castration work?
Well, you give high doses of estrogens or anti-androgens.
And they're like maybe injected, so you know?
Well, they probably would have to either inject them or take them orally, but they'd probably have to be very closely screened.
Yeah, aren't there like ramifications from that? Don't you grow breasts as well?
And, yeah, if you go
and
on...
And you get really moody and you say really crap things.
If you go on estrogens...
watch beaches and stuff. Magnolias and stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
You convince my dad to kick me out of the garage and clean carpets. It's horrible. But all right. So you would have to get estrogen injections.
or estrogen by mouth.
Right.
Okay. Or there's other ways that you can give estrogens to.
And would that shut you down?
It could shut down the most of the testosterone production.
But when you have a hankering for 9-year-old boys, isn't that a little more in your head than it is in your sack?
I'm not an expert on that psychiatrically. I would think so too.
Right.
Okay. I would think that it's more than just cutting the testosterone off.
Right.
It's there's psychological implications that go beyond the testosterone.
Yeah because. Guys that have hairy backs and big hands who have produce a lot of testosterone aren't going out and humping 9-year-old boys. They want as many cocktail waitresses as they can get in a night.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand though the notion of just shutting people down in general. So whatever their sexual proclivity was, it was now dormant.
Right. I mean, they just want to cut down the old libido.
Right.
Isn't it just a threat? It's just a threat, right? I mean, they're just putting this out there so that...
No. They do it.
They would do it?
They do do it, and they have done it.
I can't believe it.
I think they
do
it, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess they give the guy a choice between going in the joint for 20 years and being raped or taking a few estrogen shots. Yeah.
You could make them into those little, those little executive toys that businessmen have.
You have to get like six.
You could make them
or so together.
That could quite be a nice business.
What kind of requests do you get for?
I got a lot of weird stuff.
Really?
Bull necklaces. Yeah.
And what? Like, give us a good weird one. People want they want the sack in place, but they want the testes removed.
I get. I have a folder in my internet stuff where
right.
I get these really bizarre requests, and I just put them in the weirdo file.
Right.
Okay. But for example, there'd be a guy that says, I really don't want to be a girl, but I want to have a penis and I want to have a vagina. Can you make me?
Right.
Can you make me a penis in addition to my vagina? And it's like,
they want everything.
Come on, man.
No, I understand.
Have you ever had anyone who wants to have just one of his balls hanging out of his bag? Like take the ball out and then stitch it up so it's just hanging outside, exterior.
Where'd you come up with that one?
I'm just wondering whether that's
I don't
a
know
good
who's
idea.
Weirder.
It's either the gouch extension or the exterior ball.
Which is it going to be? Gouch or the testicle?
Well, we can give you a prosthetic testicle you can kind of put in your pocket.
Do you do the prosthetic ones?
Yeah, sure.
What are those made out of?
They're silicone. They're silicone gel. Solid silicone gel.
Who do you give those to, Olympic swimmers?
No, you give it to men who have lost a testicle from either cancer or from a twist, because you can have a twist of your testicle.
It's called a torsion in the
business. It's
called
a torsion.
What about silicone? Because, they almost shut down Dow, or maybe they did because of the silicone breast implants. And if silicone is so harmful to the body, why are you putting silicone?
Well, silicone breast implants are more of a liquidy type gel.
Uh-huh. This is a solid ball.
This is more solid. They make it as soft as possible without being a liquid, so that if the implant is injured, cut, whatever, it's not going to squirt out.
Okay. All right. Good dinner talk with Dr. Alter.
Yeah,
and,
cheers.
And the night is young, because we will talk before the night is through about the whole gender reassignment, which Dr. Alter specializes in. Dominic Monaghan is here tonight from Lord of the Rings. And we got to take a break because Dr. Alter has to ask Dominic many, many, many questions about the making of the movie. Yes?
Yeah, that's true.
You follow him into the bathroom if you need to.
Have a look at my gouge.
Have a look. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Alter filling in for Dr. Drew, who's in New York chasing a nickel. Dr. Alter is a board-certified plastic surgeon and also board-certified urologist, and probably his claim to fame is the gender reassignment. Dominic, I say yes.
No.
It's better radio. Yes.
Okay, whatever.
Dominic Monaghan is also here. His claim to fame is the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which he's not going to argue with. And
My claim to fame is meeting David Bowie last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where'd you meet him?
At the concert that you did at the Shrine.
I would like to meet David Bowie.
Yeah, I really wanted to as well, and he was super, super cool. So
really? Did he watch Lord of the Rings?
I think he had, yeah. I mean, he was in a big room of kind of meet and greets after his concert, so he didn't spend too long chatting to us, but he was a total gentleman, and, you know, just being in his presence was kind of magical. So.
Yes, quite an innovator, David Bowie. I like the Hunky Dory CD best.
Me too. That would be my favorite Bowie album.
Well, you see? Songs see? Bob Dylan. Coming around.
Yeah. All right. You guys are on the same
all
plane
right.
now.
Now, why isn't your claim to fame a gender reassignment?
Because I do a lot of other things.
What do you do? What's a general day like for Dr. Alter?
Well, I have a very unique practice because of my unique combination of specialties. So
right.
What I do is I see a lot of... I do regular cosmetic surgery. So in other words, it may be a breast enlargement. I mean, the routine cosmetic stuff.
Sure.
But a lot of my practice is various genital abnormalities, deformities, yeah. Whatever.
What's out there on a woman that the public doesn't know about that's commonplace for you?
A lot of women are very self-conscious about the appearance of their vaginas externally, especially the
inner... That's why they won't let me see them.
That's exactly right. Especially the inner lips or the labia minora. Yes.
You mean when the inner lips are coming out?
Right. They hang down far. And
right.
A lot of women... to be honest, they don't want to have oral sex. That's one reason why the lights are down and the you know, under the covers thing.
Right.
And they're very self-conscious. And what I feel good about is one of my claim to fame is that I did develop a new operation that is very different than the way it traditionally has been operated on. Well, the way other doctors... to make it better.
But, I mean, the way our grandfathers operated on labia
is
totally different, right?
Totally different.
The founding fathers, when they took a knife to a labia.
And they still do it. They just take the knife to labia and they would cut it off.
You developed a technique
that's very different. And so instead of cutting it off and leaving a raw, you know, a suture line at the edge.
Sure.
I'll take like a V out, pie slice out.
Right.
And then I'll bring the upper part and the bottom part up to and they'll meet.
Is the idea is just to get
make it
up
smaller?
Out of there.
No, to
make
the idea smaller. Is to make it smaller.
Tidy.
So it doesn't stick out as far.
What do they need two for anyway?
Well,
you know what I mean.
You gotta have symmetry. You know, you got one on each side.
It's a good point, I see.
No, but you have the mature...
You have the inner lips. You have the inner...
What do you need the inner one for? That's what I'm saying.
No,
you got the outer one. What do you need the inner one?
It probably protects... It probably keeps things a little moist and,
And is it...
Not in my experience.
Can't you give yourself sort of like a comb-over or something? I mean, can't you groom your hair in such a way where it doesn't really...
No? It's the Brazilian. We're doing the Brazilian.
It's a different world now. Girls shave now.
Yeah, and the five-year-old girl look.
Interesting.
I don't go
I'm not into the completely
that's crazy
shave thing either. And what about that? You have a nurse doing the shaving when you're working downstairs?
Well, a lot of the girls shave.
They do it for it.
They're already shaved, but... Yeah, you know, if they're going to surgery, then, my nurse will shave them. When they're asleep, they'll shave them.
And this has not turned you off to sex with boys at all. No.
You heard it first. No, I am straight.
No. All right. But I mean, it doesn't. I mean, it's not like the guy who gets the job at the hot dog factory sees what goes into it, sees how or smells, you know, standing in putrid blood all day, and then it can't enjoy the 4th of July cookout or the. I don't know, Boxer's Day, or what the hell they got over there in England.
FA Cup final.
Right.
The FA Cup, yeah.
The FA Cup
you can enjoy it.
Right, I can.
Okay.
Right.
But in your experience, Doc, isn't it true that whatever most people are paranoid about isn't that much of a big deal to the rest of the people that experience it? Like, the thing that we are most critical of ourselves is something that most people just don't even acknowledge.
That's probably true in most cases. I mean, everybody has insecurities.
Sure.
And I'll give you an example. And this is the reason why I didn't become a plastic surgeon right out of the chute. You know,
right.
I went into urology. It was when I was in med school, and I was rotating through surgery, and I was on plastic surgery, and they bring us in a room, and there were like five or six of us med students, and there's this really attractive woman, and the plastic surgeon said, okay, look at her. She has a complaint. She has a problem. Tell me what it is. And we're all looking at her, you know, at her face, and we can't figure out. So, yeah, she's pretty hot. You know, we want to take her out. And she goes, so he says, okay, why don't you tell them? So she says, well, you see here, there's a little extra fold here of my eyelid
right. That
isn't on the other side. And it's like, nobody would notice. Nobody cares. And so what happens is we tend to obviously think that people are looking at us because we get so insecure about certain aspects of our lives. And most of the time, it's ridiculous.
Well, and we examine ourselves so much more than anyone else does.
Absolutely.
Does it go away, though? I mean, it seems slippery, slopish to me.
It is.
That same person is never going to look in the mirror and feel completely whole. And always have a perceived way from
something. She may redirect her insecurities to some other aspect.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Listen, I like a woman who doesn't feel too good about herself. I like that.
And insecurities and scars and all that kind of thing makes the girl.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, it's nice.
Or the boy.
Yeah, and it's like, it's like when you go, you can get you can go to the appliance section and get a washing machine with a little dent in the side of it at half the price. You don't even see the dent. But they're selling it at half the price because technically got a ding getting off the truck. That's what you look for. You see what I'm saying?
I got your point.
All right. Dr. Alter here, Dominic Monaghan here from Lord of the Rings. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is not Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew's in New York. Dr. Alter is here. The king of gender reassignment, although he doesn't like to be called that. Also, Dominic Monaghan is here tonight from Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, which this movie, now we were talking, I think, off the air before the show, but the movie's like made they've all made $500 million or...
Yeah, we've made, I think the movie's made over $2 billion now. The movies.
Amazing.
So, I mean, you've got to figure, I mean, in order to make $2 billion, you have to have people seeing it. Some people have seen it 50 times, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think the fans out there, the people who would call themselves Lord of the Rings fans, would see the movie at the cinema at least 3 times. It's that type of movie.
It's an interesting concept, which is, when you're making a movie, the best you can hope for is a certain small percentage of the population go to see your movie one time, and that's how most movies are, just because of the content of the movie. But it's interesting if you pick a genre or a topic where you can get repeat offenders.
Yeah.
I mean, so much of this business, just there's probably just the average Lord of the Ring fan has probably seen it 4.62 times or something like that, and they pay every time.
I would agree with that. I mean, I get letters of people who say that, every Saturday night they watch the Fellowship of the Ring extended cut, they watch the Two Towers, and then since the Return of the King's been out, they've gone to the cinema and seen it again. So they say they do that every weekend since it's come out, which would mean they've seen Return of the King,
Alter.
10 or 11 times. I mean, it's a good movie. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, no,
it's a great movie, but come on.
Go and get yourself a girlfriend.
Yeah, get a life.
Yeah.
A 11
or a boyfriend.
Nominations,
you have to say this, this
by
show.
The way. No movie's gotten high. What second? 6 nominations?
No. I mean, I think Titanic.
No, I mean this season, this year.
Oh, right. No, I think we got the most this year, yeah.
Yeah, you got 11. I don't know, Mystic River got 6 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what the second is. I don't even know if there's one that's up at 8.
I don't know. I think something is around about 5, maybe 21 grams, maybe Cold Mountain, maybe Mystic River. I don't know.
Yeah. This year, it's the greatest group of good movies that I'm not seeing. Like, everyone's like, you gotta see Mystic River, and I'm like, I know, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
And they're like, you get 21 grams, great. I know I don't want to see it though. Like, there's all these really monster, there's all these really good movies that it's like, I know they're good movies. I'm going to get depressed. I don't want to. I talk to effed up kids and guys who got cut penises off all night. I don't want to.
But wait. Have you seen Finding Nemo?
Yes.
All right, well, there you go.
Cool. I did. It was good, but it's just because my nephews were staying over and I'm showing them the DVD. I should have seen it in the theater. But no, I just mean there seems to be more movies out this year that are, people agree, like Cold Mountain or 21 Grams or whatever. People are monster. The people agree are quality films that I just don't feel like seeing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like an a-hole because I'm sure they are good films, and I've missed five or eight of. The Cooler. There's another movie I'm not seeing. It's supposed to be very good.
Yeah,
I'm sure I would like it. I just decided I wasn't going to see it. Yeah, and that didn't work that way.
I think kind of, you know, the quality, what's happened now with the audience is that the audience has slowly become more and more sophisticated, and not only have movies got longer and longer, but the audience is now expecting more. And if you're talking about Lord of the Rings, I mean, Pete Jackson has now raised the bar not only for what you expect from a film, but also the special effects and the costume and everything about that world, that he's just pushed it to another level. And I think if you want to step up and compete with, you know, I'm a fan of the movies as well, which is a trilogy of movies which I think stand alongside some of the greatest films ever made, then you have to be bringing something to the table that is unique and different, and you can't just be making, you know, trash and expect it to be, you know, cleaning up at the Oscars.
Yeah, well, you don't get 11 nominations by pumping out garbage.
No, you put Don Monahan in the film.
Daniel?
Did I just say that at 11:05?
Danielle?
Yes?
You're 13?
Yes.
You masturbated and blood came out?
I hit puberty probably 4 to 5 years ago.
Seems young. You mean like eight or nine?
I'm almost 14 now.
All right. What year do girls hit puberty these days? Is it getting young?
I don't know. No. It's, you know, 12 or 13.
And I had... This is not the first time I had done this. This is the first time this has happened, though, and it frightened me.
All right. Well, what should you do, Doc?
Have you been to a gynecologist ever?
No. Never.
Well, maybe you should. I mean, women get... Hold on a second. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I've become one from sitting next to Dr. Drew for 9 years. And he always says that when women get stimulated sexually, there can be some bleeding. Some women do a little bleeding.
Well, it also depends. I mean, if she's a virgin still, and she may—I don't know how she's masturbating. If she tore her hymen a little bit, that could cause bleeding. I mean, who knows what she's doing? But if she's concerned about it, she should mention it to her parents. Just say she had a little bleeding, and then go see the gynecologist and just make sure it's checked out. I mean, the odds of it being anything serious are minuscule, but rare things happen.
They have a pediatric gynecologist?
I think she qualifies for...
Really?
Yeah.
But when you're like in med school and the guys they're going like, who wants to get into pediatric gynecology? And some guy's hand goes up. That don't you kind of make fun of that?
Well, you know, happens
you don't hang out with that guy.
Surprisingly, a lot of the pediatric gynecological issues are handled by urologists. Because a lot of the abnormalities of the vagina are associated with urinary issues, and a lot of pediatric urologists handle a lot of the reconstructive aspects.
Yeah.
It's kind of shady. Hey?
Sounds bizarre that you're in a you're looking at 9-year-old vagina your whole day.
Well, no, that's pretty rare stuff.
Really?
Yeah, you don't see that many problems of pediatric,
you don't,
you know, female genital problems.
You know,
no.
But do they want to?
That's you see more.
Guys, they sit home.
You see more. Little.
When's a 9-year-old coming in?
The phone rings. Hello.
Patient.
You're 7. Yes, you can come in tomorrow morning. Yes, at 8 a.m. Yes.
My daughter was.
I have a window.
Stuck a crayon in her eye. Bring her over and take her pants off. Is that what it's like?
No.
Okay. All right.
Oh man.
All right. Listen, you asked for it with your kooky job. Your parents, seriously, they're pissed, right?
No.
All that money for medical school. No, really? They're good. They're good. Okay. No, listen.
They're cool. They're cool.
When was your last gender reassignment operation?
Yesterday.
He doesn't want to be known as the king of gender reassignment.
But he's come straight from a cock transplant.
Yeah, who did you do yesterday? It's always
a male to female.
It's always
generally.
Male. That's 90%, right?
Yeah.
90%. Because there's a woman trapped inside them, yes?
Yes.
Yes. They're trapped.
Yes.
And why is it not the other way around? Why is it not 50-50? Why is it not a man?
For some reason, there are more male to female transsexuals than female to male. But surgery wise, it is much easier to do male to female than female to male.
Right.
Just from the aspect of it's very hard to build a penis.
Sure.
And you can give really good cosmetic result in a good functioning vagina.
Oh, right. Really?
Oh, yeah.
So do you
sensation and orgasm and the whole
thing. But shouldn't they be? Here's okay.
Here we go.
This is going to sound bad.
Here we go.
But here's what I'm saying. In the automotive industry.
Well, there you go.
Just listen.
Okay.
When a used car was salvaged, meaning it went into a lake, it was stolen and stripped. By law, they have to tell you on the pink. You know, they can't. I can't sell it to you. I have to tell you it was salvaged. That's a law. No laws like that when you turn a dude into a chick.
Well, that's an interesting issue that
vaginal
you bring up
because salvage?
No,
yes.
That's an interesting issue because I have talked to I mean, it's a real problem for the transsexual patient because, you know, some of them do look very feminine, and some of them it is very difficult to tell, both by looking at them with clothes on and even without clothes.
No,
so the point comes in a relationship. Where this person, where the woman starts to date, and does she? When does she? And does she? Okay,
no, that's your job.
No,
yeah,
it's not my job.
Yes,
no, it's not my
guy,
job.
As
no,
a
no,
used
no.
car dealer,
no, put a sign on
you. You have to be upfront with the guys. It's like if someone commits suicide in the house, and you're selling the house. You got to be upfront with the realtor. You got to tell them that somebody committed suicide in here. You need a placard or something that you put on the navel that says "salvaged vagina." This used to be a dude. Like, I mean, I would sue you if I hump.
Yeah,
I would go right after
you. Know
you.
Some? I'll tell
I would
you
go
some.
Right after
you. Know what's very interesting?
Therapy,
Adam.
More therapy,
Adam. Let me put it.
I would go
most
right
of my
after
patients.
You. I would close you down.
Most of my patients who are transsexuals, I meet them as they're already dressed as females. I cannot even envision them as a man.
Oh, really?
No, I can't.
Right.
Adam's apple.
How about when you're staring at their penis?
Adam's apple. Really?
Yeah.
You can take care of the Adam's apple because I went to Thailand and, you know, there's a transsexual kind of vibe going on.
Very large.
Very large. And the rule of thumb with my friends and I, Adam's apple.
Well,
if they have an Adam's apple, just walk
not
away.
All, not if Alter
buy them a
has
drink,
his
be
way.
A gentleman, walk away.
You'd be right on top of some dude if Alter has his way. What do you do with the Adam's apple? And by the way, when you're staring at the guy with the eyeshadow and the penis, you do think he's a guy at that point, though, right? When you're staring at the actual
Well, I'm not sitting there staring at him.
Oh, you know?
Oh, come
I mean,
on.
I examine him prior to surgery.
That's the luxury of your job, isn't it?
I examine him prior to surgery to make sure that, you know, everything's intact and we can make an adequate...
What do you do with the Adam's apple? You shave
I that? Don't do the operation, but I refer him to friends of mine, and what they do is they remove part of the cartilage so that it gets
they
lower.
They flick it in.
Can I see it? I mean, I'm looking for signs.
You can look for a scar, but it's hard to see most of the time.
It'd be an interesting thing for a hot chick to do to get guys to leave her alone, which is just stick just a little keloid scar, just a little stick on right there, smudge a little makeup on it, and have every guy at the bar freaked out.
That'd be good reality TV there. You know, you could have a house with one girl and then one transsexual, the others are girls. No, one guy, I guess. And you could work out which one's the transsexual.
You know, all kidding aside...
You win a pair of cock and balls.
I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not
kidding. You need to tell these guys.
No. I mean, listen.
Do they have heterosexual relationships? For the most part?
For the most part, but not all of them.
Some of them...
Okay, you can have a straight transsexual or you can have a gay transsexual. And let me tell you the difference.
Okay.
Okay? If you're a male to female...
Right. So,
okay?
male,
so you
male
become
female.
A female.
You become a female.
Then to be a straight, then you would like guys.
Right.
Okay? But if you're a male to female and like females...
Right.
Then you're gay.
You're a lesbian.
But interestingly, many of them get past that whole gender issue.
Yeah.
And what they're looking for is a relationship with somebody that they can relate to. And it doesn't really matter to them... To some of them, whether or not they're male or female.
All right. And when what now? Would you, in your own personal life, have any difficulty dating somebody who'd stepped across the threshold of sanity and became
It's not an issue of sanity.
I know.
It's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate medical situation, and they go through in their life. Nobody should ever have to go.
You got a female trapped inside your body. It's no different than a parasite or anything else getting inside your body. It's like swallowing a nickel. It's a female.
Out,
yeah, I know. I got Napoleon trapped inside of me. You want to let him out? Let him out. Napoleon, he's in me. Apparently, I'm not nuts.
Well, I'll put it on you, Adam.
I got Napoleon. At least Napoleon had a penis.
Tiny one.
Please.
Well, you don't know for sure.
All right, but the point is, would you date somebody who'd made the transition? Uh-huh. The highest. I ask the tough questions.
You do ask the tough questions.
Thank you. Would you do it?
Can I do a no comment?
Would you have a
problem? Can I do a no comment?
You could, but that means no.
No,
that
means doesn't mean either way.
I mean, it would freak you out. Even the very liberal Dr. Alter would be freaked out by this. This is why, again, you have to put the placard on there that this is a salvage vagina. All right. Let's go back to the phones. I give Dr. Alter a fair amount of crap, and he's a good sport for a hangout. And as like I said, as kooky as I might make his profession out to be, he's in Drew's own words, a genius. The idea that you can have boards in two separate categories is really impressive.
It's a lot of work.
Yes. His book's fantastic. I've been reading it in my downtime.
You can't put it down.
It's incredible.
Except for the vomit, but then you pick it right back.
Superb.
Up again. Yeah, it's got all kinds
amazing.
Of stuff that look like M80s went off in vaginas. All right, let's see. I got a question for Dominic. Samantha?
Hi.
You're 16?
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Hey.
Well, I had a question for Dom. Hi, Dom.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Well, first, my friends are making me do this. They just please wanted you to give a shout-out to the sexy little girls in the fandom chat.
Okay, I'm English, so I have no idea what a shout-out is. It's
say
some American phenomenon. Oh, say hi to who?
To
it's anal sex.
What are their names again?
It's a euphemism.
Everybody in the fandom chat from Sexila.
Oh, is this like an internet site?
Yeah.
And by the way, hold on. Doesn't it sort of cramp on the notion of the shout-out when you repeat for the third time what the shout-out is?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not good at this thing.
It's like the autograph where they go, right to my best friend.
What's your name again? Can you spell that with a K? All right, tell me one more time their name. See, that's four now.
It's the Sexula Girls.
The Sexula Girls?
Sexula. Somebody made a typo.
Girls.
Instead of writing sexual, they wrote Sexula, and it sucks.
Sexula. All right. Well, hi. How are you doing to the Sexula Girls?
Oh, man, that's got to
isn't
that satisfying.
That's just the peak of your lifetime, right?
She's probably one of the ones that go every week to see Lord of the Rings.
How many times have you seen the movie, Samantha?
Well, I saw Fellowship in the theaters twice, and Two Towers twice, and Return of the King only once, because I don't have any money.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. You're 16.
Aren't I good in it? Aren't I really, really good?
Of course.
Did you have a question for Dom?
I heard about the script that you were writing with Billy. And
right.
I was just wondering where it is right now, if it's going to be made into the movie.
It's in two separate computers. It's in my computer and in Billy's computer. What we're doing at the moment is, I don't know if people do this, but we separated it into three separate parts. Billy takes hold of two-thirds, and I take hold of a third, and we swap it month to month. So on any given month, I may have two-thirds, and he'll have a third. And, we're just in the process of trying to get it to a point where we want to show it people. You know, we're both huge fans of comedy. It's probably my favorite medium of film, and I think making it a funny film is one of the hardest things to do, and is also kind of semi-poo-pooed by the people in the film industry. So
really?
Yeah, I think so. I think comedy is kind of belittled.
Frowned on?
It's never up for an Oscar, you know? It's never up for a Golden Globe.
Yeah, I mean, the farcical stuff rarely is, but you get your Manhattans and your Annie Halls.
Your sophisticated Woody Allen scripts, but, you know, I would argue that that, you know, Life of Brian, This is Spinal Tap, Dumb and Dumber, these kind of movies were fantastic, enjoyable movies that everyone went to see and were really into. And the fact that they don't get acknowledged at these big award shows is
There's a snobbery that goes on because it's a good argument. Something like Spinal Tap, it's a great movie. And I make the same argument with things in the action genre, like Terminator 2 or Terminator 1. I mean, T2, whether you want to talk cinematography or stunts or special effects or story or whatever it is, you're looking at the sum of the entire movie when you put something up for Best Picture. Yeah. Why something like that was as ambitious, if not more, than any other film that came out that year, and arguably more enjoyable. Yeah. Why is it not in that category?
Is it? There's some. I would agree. There's some amount of snobbery with something that isn't necessarily coming from a script that seems to be, you know, a great quality piece of work. I mean, I don't understand it either, but, you know, my deal with comedy is that I'm not going to put something out there unless it's something which I think is a sophisticated piece of work, because, you know, I want to continue working in most aspects of work, but I also don't, I would hate to make a bad comedy film, because it's probably my favorite my favorite genre. So,
Mike?
Yeah.
You're 24?
I am.
Got a question for the doctor about penis enlargement?
I do.
What about it, Doc?
Well, what are the dangers is what I wanted to know.
All right, well, let's talk about the different procedures. First off, what about the pills you hear about?
Forget about it. It's a scam.
Yeah, it's not. No free lunch.
No free lunch.
No pills good for growing your boobs, growing your penis.
Right.
Melting off the weight. I mean, there's just no free lunch in nature, right?
You know, the fact they give you a money-back guarantee is a bigger scam, because nobody asked for $39 back. I mean, so they figure they got you, you know? So, the pills are just a scam. In terms of, you have to divide penis enlargement into two aspects, either lengthening and girth enlargement. Okay, sure. Now, if you talk, there's so much misinformation, so much deceit, with penis enlargement surgeries, so let's start with the lengthening aspect. The operation that's done for lengthening is really just release of the suspensory ligament, which is a ligament that goes from your pubic bone to the penis. So the purpose of that ligament is to give a little support to the penis, but it's not a big deal
when it's erect.
You cut the ligament, you don't instantly get gain. All you're doing is you're cutting the ligament so that the guy can get gain, more gain, by stretching his penis with weights. Now, in the Kama Sutra, in these tries in New Guinea, they've been stretching their penis by wearing weights or stretching devices for 1,000 years or so. So finally figured out, well, my gosh, you can stretch your penis by wearing weights. So the only reason for cutting the ligament.
What about the vacuum? Cutting the ligament and vacuum?
The vacuum can get some length too, but also what it does too is it sucks in fluid. So it gives a bloated effect to the penis.
Right.
So kind of the skin and the tissues get kind of thicker. They don't feel really normal if you use it a lot. Okay?
Right.
So the penis can get larger with that. Now, but the purpose of cutting the ligament is just so that you wear the weights, you're getting more of the penis that can be stretched.
What size weights?
Companies that make these weights. Yeah, that 3, 4, 5 pounds. And the guy wears it for 15 minutes, 5, 10, 15 minutes, once or twice a day. And then over a period of time, you wear these weights long enough, in most cases, you'll get some length gain.
How much?
It's a function frequently of how big you start with. Because if a guy is bigger to start with, he's got more that can be stretched. So he's going to get more of a gain. So if the guy that needs it the most, the guy with the small penis, he's going to get the least gain.
Bummer, well,
gain.
I always likened it to taking a mailbox on a post, and sort of, you're not lengthening the post, you're pulling it out of the ground a little bit, but then a good wind will knock it over. Like you're compromising its integrity a little bit.
No, not really.
You're crapping on my mailbox analogy.
Well, I'm sorry about your mailbox.
Well, what I'm saying,
there's still good support.
There's good support.
Right. And the,
what do you have? Why the hell did God put these ligaments on your penis? It made it to humble you? Well, if you don't need them, I mean, if you got good support, what do you need them for?
Well, as long as the doctor doesn't get carried away and cut more of the support than he's supposed to, you're okay.
So he leaves enough in there right. So that you can have an erection.
And it'll still, you know, you may lose a little bit of the elevation when you get hard.
Yeah.
But you don't lose the, you don't lose the support. Okay,
right.
So that's
now,
the length thing. So if you're so you see these ads where the guy goes, come to us for penis lengthening and you're going to get 2 inches. It's
right.
Bogus. It's and
ooh, wait,
sorry about
that's
that.
The S word.
But it really gets.
I can see your passion.
Well, because there's a lot of deception.
They're cutting in your business, are they? Not?
No, it's not cutting me because I don't do much of that. But I get very upset when there's deceptive advertising
right.
in medicine. Okay.
Well, and plus too, when you advertise saying a guy's going to have get some penis length or some girth and it's some pills and it's money back, you know these guys aren't going to start pounding on a drum and calling Ralph Nader's office and saying I tried
right.
because
that's right.
my abnormally small
right.
penis
right.
I tempted
exactly.
You're taking a victim. You're taking sort of a quiet
right.
victim here,
yeah.
and you're.
And, right, and
you're taking
and,
advantage of them.
That's right, and then you start talking. Then you got the other aspect in terms of the girth or the thickening.
All right, now, well, hold on 1 second because we got to take a break. And breaking it off into the girth versus the length that's a good place.
Nah, it's
to
beautiful.
Stop. Yeah. So we're going to come back. So the pills don't work.
Drugs don't work.
The lengthening works to some degree
if you're committed over a long period of time.
Right.
To wearing devices that'll stretch your penis.
You cut the ligament, stretch the penis, and stick with it. You have to have focus. All right, we're going to come back. We'll speak about girth after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Alter filling in for Dr. Drew. Dominic Monaghan is here tonight from the biggest movies ever, Lord of the Rings. When we left off, we were discussing penis enlargement. Dr. Alter's an expert in all things that start with a P. And that's what really should say on your card. P-man. Dr. Alter. And we decided that the pills do nothing to enlarge the penis.
Right.
That the surgery works a little on the length, but it's a procedure and you got to stick with it.
Right.
Got to go with the weights. And now we're to girth.
Okay, so girth, there's various different procedures that are done to increase the thickness.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that was done was injecting fat. So in other words,
yes.
you suck fat from another part of your body, and then you inject it in the penis. Now, that creates a lot of problems.
Yeah, that was just seemed like it was in vogue about 9 or 10 years ago.
Right. But what happened with that is a lot of the fat would disappear, or it would get lumpy, and it would get kind of deforming. Now, there are guys that have had it done that are happy with it.
Yeah. I hear your penis would taste like a pork chop. Is this true?
Not if you're Jewish.
Nothing to that.
A pink hot dog?
Yeah, you don't want that.
All right, so fat, no good.
So then another operation was where you take strips of skin and fat that's removed from another part of your body.
Like where?
Like from your the fold of your buttocks or from your lower abdomen or
right,
something.
Right.
And you take the skin and fat and then you kind of thread it in underneath the skin between the erection chambers and the skin.
Uh-huh. You go underneath.
Underneath
so
the skin.
So it doesn't
skin.
Have that pig in a blanket look.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And that gives a better texture and that works well most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
when it doesn't work well, it can be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that operation. I no longer do it because I had a couple problems. And I have done many, 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 many repairs of other doctors.
Other people's work?
Yeah, of that. Because what can happen...
You talk a lot of smack about those guys when they come in, right?
No, I don't
like
talk
a mechanic
smack.
Where they go, oh, geez, so what hack worked on... The guy should have his arms cut off. Who worked on this? This is a disaster.
But,
I have to mop up. Yeah,
so,
I know how it goes.
So if that, for example, those strips of skin and fat don't survive well, they become very hard. And
mm-hmm.
what they can do is they can cause curvature of the penis.
Mm-hmm. Peronies, we call that in the
well,
business.
It's not... Peronis
don't
per se, but
me.
Okay, sorry, yeah, Adam, you are the host.
All right.
So
yes.
anyway,
in England we call it the Bendy Wendy.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so it's the Bendy Wendy. So what else? What's the next fat?
And then so to get away from that, then another thing is you can take cadaver skin that's purified and all the cells are removed, sure. And you layer that and you put that in under the skin,
mm-hmm.
and that gets some thickness, and that is fraught with less complications.
Right.
Okay?
So the people with the sticker on their license, the donor stickers.
Yeah, that can go to some penis enlargement.
That's what I love.
Yeah, you love
You're
that
at the DMV. They ask you, do you want to check that box that's going to say donor on your driver's license? You picture yourself giving a 9-year-old orphan a second lease on life by taping your liver after you get in a horrible motorcycle accident. Turns out it's some guy who's having a midlife crisis. It's an Arab guy from Beverly Hills who's just sucked his third wife dry and wants a little extra girth on the dork. That's where your precious cells are going toward, yes?
Potentially, I guess that could happen.
I'm all for that, man. I'm a donor. I carry the donor.
I'm a donor, too. But, I pictured giving my corneas to a young child so that they could see the world I just left. Not wrapped duct tape around some guy's dick. This is disgusting. Disgust me, Arthur.
I don't do that.
All right, I'm just saying.
And then another
feasting on cadavers.
Okay, right.
Okay.
And then another operation that can be done, which is being done, is more physiologic, but it's more invasive in that you make an incision along the entire erection chamber on both mm-hmm. sides, and you lay in some of that cadaver so that you actually make the erection chambers larger.
Mm-hmm.
That type of procedure is done on guys who have bent penises,
mm-hmm.
okay? But I hesitate to do it on guys who just want enlargement, because if you do get a complication, you're taking a man who has a normal function and mm-hmm. potentially make him non-functional if a complication occurs.
Well, so, good answer.
There's no easy way.
Right. Okay. And we'll take a call, and then I want to ask you about Viagra and Cybrexa or Cialis or whatever.
Levitra and all that.
Levitra, yes. All these new forms of drugs for erections, and Drew frowns, by the way, on the recreational use of such drugs, but I say this is why God put them out. Eventually, you know, healthy people want to get hold of a nice Quaalude and a little Viagra every once in a while. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm taking Viagra.
How did it do for you?
It worked.
Yeah, it works.
Definitely worked.
Well, we should talk about it now. It gave you a nice boner.
Yeah.
You didn't have a problem in that department.
I didn't, but I was in a situation where I generally wouldn't have had a boner.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching a movie.
Piano recital.
Yeah.
You know. Watching a movie. But it wasn't the Thailand.
Boys choir.
Wasn't the Thai trip that we were talking about earlier?
No, it was with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. We were watching a film. He was with his girlfriend, which mm-hmm. turned out to be very annoying because we all took Viagra. Him and his girlfriend got kind of turned on.
Really?
And I was, you
potential
know, made
threesome.
To leave the room limping.
See. Yeah.
But it did work, you know. It definitely did work.
Yeah, I want to tell you how to take Viagra, but important to have a vagina, a usable vagina.
It's very important.
Somewhere on the premises.
Yeah.
It just would make sense, yeah.
Yeah.
So what about, is the jury still out on recreational use of these kinds of drugs?
Well, I don't know what you mean by the jury. I mean, it's quite obvious that it's being used widely as a recreational use.
I guess what I'm saying is do you anticipate trouble 20 years from now for the people who may have used it recreationally?
No.
And you not again subscribe to the sort of no free lunch or sort
it's,
of
you know,
monkeying
it,
with
it is,
nature a
it,
little
it's
bit.
It's quite amazing because I know the guys that did the research on it.
You do?
Yeah. And I kind of was around.
Brothers,
I was around when all this stuff started coming out. I
imagine you hear everything first, right?
You know, and I was a big skeptic. I said, you know, I mean, how are you going to take a pill by mouth that's going to work down there?
Right.
Okay? I mean, how can it be so selective that it's going to affect it? But it's amazing that, you know, the rhinoceros is almost extinct because the Chinese need they think a rhinoceros horn is going to make them potent.
Right.
Okay?
We can't judge other cultures.
No, we don't want to do
we
that.
We cannot judge. They have just as much right to that horn as a rhinoceros does. We can't judge any culture. But yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Genital mutilation in the Middle East or in Africa, we cannot judge. We can't judge.
It's wrong.
I can judge that one.
You want to catch
me.
A shark? You want to cut the fin off and throw the shark back in the water?
They take the tiger penis as well, right?
I don't know.
Those crazy bastards. You know,
they take the bear. They got like a bear pancreas or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird spleen.
Here's the point. All cultures are exactly the same. And we cannot judge. We cannot judge. Those are all beautiful cultures, rich.
Yeah, you guys have American football. Those guys take rhinoceros.
Right.
You want tit for tat.
You want to hack off someone's clitoris? We cannot judge. But anyway. This is saving the
rhino. It actually works. It's saving the rhino. So you can look at Viagra and Cialis as saving the rhino.
Right. All right.
From that standpoint, that is a good thing.
And no long-term.
Not as far as anybody knows. And there was a concern that that if you took it, that eventually you'd build up some kind of a resistance to it, where you'd have to take more every time.
Right.
But that hasn't been shown to be true.
All right.
So, like antibiotics, right?
No, it's kind of different. Antibiotics, you select out of different bacteria. But what I'm saying is there are certain drugs that you take it, and after a certain period of time, you have to take more and more and more for it to be effective. That hasn't been shown to be the case in Viagra.
Yet. All right. And what's the difference between the three major...
Yeah, Cialis works for 36 hours or so.
Wow.
So, it's not... You have to be sexually stimulated or turned on to get the erection. It's not like you're walking around with an erection, though. You're not.
Well, Dom was.
How do you sleep? How do you last the night?
Normally,
when you sleep and you go through rapid eye movement or REM sleep, you're getting erections. Like a guy in his 20s is probably getting 3 or 4 erections a night.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true,
and.
Man.
So,
all right. So they're safe and they're effective.
They're safe for most people. I mean, if you're taking certain drugs, like nitrates and certain cardiac drugs, then you should not take those because
Dr. Drew morally has a problem with people taking drugs that are meant for people who have difficulties recreationally. Right. You have a problem with that?
Yes.
Not really.
Yes and no. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Can you get me a Quaalude?
No.
I've never had a Quaalude. Do they make Quaaludes anymore?
Not in the U.S.
All right, give me some Valium then.
Wouldn't that be great to have a liberal doctor?
Yeah.
Someone who's just like, you know what, I'll give it you.
I worked with that stupid Dr. Drew for 9 years. I got to bust his ass and get an aspirin out of that puss. Danny?
Yeah.
And he doesn't like it when I call the sleeping pills downers either. Or he doesn't like it when I ask him to score.
can you score me some
Ambien? And he's like, would you like some sleeping medication?
Can I
score me some
Ambien?
Score me some downers, would you, dude? Danny?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Danny. All right, we got a bad connection.
No, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, my question is, I've been using the penis pump for almost, about going on to 2 months almost every day.
Sure.
And, huh?
Right. I'm picturing Sir Walter Raleigh. I'm closing my eyes. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I've seen the results and I know they're not permanent. They'll go away eventually. Mm-hmm. But my question is, long term, am I going to damage it?
You could potentially damage your penis with the pump.
You go over 140 psi, you got problems.
You're sucking in the fluid. You're keeping it there. You're causing some, swelling and I'm not a big fan of penis pumps.
You like the weights.
I mean, if you use it every once in a while,
the
no big
the stretching
deal.
Devices.
Yeah, but the penis pumps, the skin gets thickened, the tissues get thickened.
You lose some sensation.
I don't know about that. I haven't done a study of these guys. I don't know. I don't see many of these guys who do. Use penis pumps or whatever.
And
so.
Again, I know this is a strange pitch to a guy who does gender reassignment. That's his stock and trade. His bread and butter is gender reassignment. He just did one less than 24 hours ago. but I really do think I'm just an atheist and I'm not a doctor, but I do really believe that It's sort of a Rubik's Cube, which you sort of, you try to line up this side, and then the back side gets screwed up. No free lunches in nature. Start trying to get your penis bigger, you lose a little sensitivity.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Yes,
no,
of course,
not,
you can't. You
got to
sleep
true.
At night. Well, you just got done saying
no,
that the penis pump's
no, the penis pump,
the
if you're using the penis pump every day, and you're really using it a lot, and you're
pumping
sucking
it
in,
no,
like you said, with big vacuum pressure.
All right, on a philosophical nature.
Okay.
You know, you can take steroids and pump up your muscles
right.
and
well,
look fantastic.
Right. And you got some big negatives there.
And there's some big negatives.
Big negative.
I'm just saying, normally, when there's something that may work or a magic pill or something like a steroid, there is an adverse and alternate
most
effect.
Things have pluses and minuses, right?
Yeah.
All right. Apart from acid and mushrooms.
You're right. Those are fine. The psilocybin stuff. That's good. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Alter. Dominic Monaghan is here tonight from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Dr. Alter as a plastic surgeon and a urologist, and I was going to the bathroom. I saw my penis. It reminded me of you, and I thought I had a question. What about Michael Jackson? How many surgeries do you think he's had? Just
facially,
crazy,
multiple surgeries
into the 20s.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. You could just look at his face and. There's so many different operations he's had.
And then what about the coloration thing?
I still am somewhat confused how that worked. Yeah. Well,
does it seem suspicious?
It seems, but vitiligo is usually a spotty discoloration. I don't see how he got his. I don't know how this.
If you had vitiligo, you'd have marks on your belly,
right.
But your face wouldn't just turn it.
Not totally.
Shade.
Yeah, not totally white. I don't know.
Do that if you were him?
I don't know. Honestly, don't know. I mean, maybe he's just had so many chemical peels that his pigment got bleached. But I've never heard anybody else doing that. So I it's all conjecture. I don't know how he did it, if it is indeed man-made, basically.
It seems like it would be. Tim?
Yeah?
And by the way, hold on one second. I know this is not a question that we can answer, but when a guy has had 23 operations on his face, says he's had two nose jobs for purposes of obstructions or something like that.
Singing purposes.
Does it sort of bring almost everything else into question? Do you know what I'm saying? You sort of get the feeling that maybe the guy in general stretches the truth just a little
bit. Well, it's when he got on TV and said he only had one operation on his, you know.
I'm just saying,
hello.
Are we
credibility levels?
Should we believe that this is the only thing he may lie about?
Yeah, well, I don't think any of us are naive enough to get ahead on the fact that, I mean, the guy lives in Neverland, man. I mean, he lives in Neverland. The guy
moving. You know,
he did move out.
He's in a dream world.
He's moving out, and you know, he's thinking about moving in as Eminem, I think.
Really? Neverland?
Yeah.
You know what? The guy wrote Billie Jean and beat it. What are you going to do?
No.
He wrote Billie Jean, man.
Tim?
Yeah.
I wish you would have wrote Billie Jean and beat it. It's different how you say
did.
It. It would have been better for
Billie Jean
all of us.
And.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa, hey.
Whoa, with the F word. Tim.
Yeah.
Just got the doctor throwing out the S word.
Sorry about
I'm throwing
this.
Out the F word. It's really a disaster. Tim, what's up? You're 18.
Unacceptable.
My girlfriend is afraid to give me a BJ because she's afraid of getting pregnant.
No.
Yeah. I was just wondering what the chances were.
About 60%.
I mean, 55 to 60%.
Listen, Tim, you're 18 years old. You're not 13.
I don't know what to tell her.
No, this is bogus, of course.
Bogus.
My only consolation is that Tim has been on hold for 66 minutes.
Well, it's an important question to him.
No, he's obviously making this up. But I just it's funny when we take the bogus calls. Sometimes a guy's been on hold for 113 minutes. So it's like
for a bogus call.
Who's the joke on? All right, Tim.
I don't know. Tim sounds
nice. Nice try.
She won't do it because she's afraid of getting pregnant.
Right. How old is she, Tim?
She's 16.
16. All right.
And you're 18? I think you got a problem here.
Yeah.
A problem.
You're 18. She's 16.
And by the way, here's how you know it's always bogus to you. You got a problem here. Problem? They just repeat. They parrot back the last word you say.
Tim, you have to get semen, inside the vagina, I think, to get pregnant, as opposed to the mouth. I mean, it's going to have to make a gargantuan journey for it to get anywhere near the ovaries and then allow her to be. I mean, you know what? If she did become pregnant, you would have an Olympic style child. Like, this kid would be the most amazing baby in the world. It would be like Magic Johnson crossed with Michael Jordan.
Could only be beat by the anal baby. That's the only baby that would be greater than the oral
I have a friend
baby.
Here tonight who was an anal baby.
Oh, really?
This guy right here, my friend Sharks, was an anal baby.
I was wondering about that.
That's where he gets his beautiful looks from.
I had my suspicions. Of course, I didn't want to say anything because I've been burnt a few times.
He's an anal baby, dude. They're out there.
Yeah, I know.
But the X-Files.
Wait to see how red your face gets when you go up and ask somebody if they're an anal baby and they get all bent out of shape. I've been wrong almost 11 times. 11 times now.
11?
Never. I've only been right twice. So I've learned to stop asking. All right. And what about now, Dr. Alter, what about getting a man to become a woman and then getting that person pregnant? How far away are we from that dream?
Impossible.
Impossible?
Wow.
Really?
Man
to a woman.
And then getting her pregnant. Well, she has no ovaries.
I'm just saying.
You've got to do an ovary transplant.
Is there a way to put a transplant?
You can transplant an ovary. Technically, you can transplant a penis.
I'm just saying, is this ever going to happen? And why wouldn't it? Everything else seems to eventually happen. I mean, does some guy is gonna be a chick and get pregnant?
You gotta get the.
How about
donors?
A guy remaining a guy in getting pregnant? Is that possible with an ovary transplant? I mean, you definitely gotta go C-section.
Yes, gotta be C-section.
Well, the baby would be in. It wouldn't be in utero, obviously, but there have been cases where babies have been born outside of the uterus.
Really?
Yeah.
In like a plastic bag?
No, inside the peritoneal cavity. It's really rare.
Wow. All right.
You never know.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Well, that's the show. My honker hurts. I want to thank Dr. Alter for coming in and having a good sense of humor about him and his bizarre practices and not worrying about God judging him whatsoever and having a great sense of humor. God bless you, Alter. You're a good sport.
Thank you.
Nobody knows more about the dork than Alter. I said it. I'll stand by it. Dominic. Thank you very much. We got off to a shaky start.
It's all right. Hey, do I have time to make a retraction?
Yeah, go ahead.
My retraction would be that the Jimmy Kimmel comment came from a friend of mine, not my publicist, and I would love, L-O-V-E, to be on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
I will give him a good
buttering. Can you call your good friend? No. He's a good friend of yours, right?
Oh, yes. No. I'll give him a good buttering up when I see
him. Get me on that show, man.
I will work very hard on it. Alter, we'll see you in hell. No, you come back anytime you like.
Hey, anytime you ask, I'll be here.
Always have a great time with you. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Alter. Say mahalo.
You can transplant an ovary. Technically, you can transplant a penis.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.